Thank you, Father, for all these words through Christ Jesus. Amen. So these prophecies are going to go right in line with Jesus. It's all going to work in. But what a neat introduction, Yahweh coming in and going, okay, you guys, you can't get prophecies that are right in line if you're out of fellowship.
Yeah.
You might get a little bit, but not like that. So this is right in line. A neat example of this, of being commissioned, ready to go. Here I am, sir. I'm here watching some movies about people volunteering, like 12 Strong and some of this other stuff. You know, there's suicide missions. You don't have to do this. I'll do it. You're like, man, if we admire that, how much more does Yahweh and Yehoshua going, look at this guy. Mm-hmm. Coach Cox is a guy that he's a friend of mine. He's got a lot of things people would pick on. But one thing that I do with him, because he's got a special place in my heart, is I always pick up the phone when he calls. And he notices. The guy always picks up the phone. And if I don't pick up the phone, he chews me out with the sarcastic thing. But I'm there. And we need to be like that for Yahweh. He always picks up the phone. No, I can't talk to you right now. I'm driving or I'm doing this. And that's what we need to be, and I need to work on. Tim was talking about one time, and I'm not going to get this perfect. Here's a testimony Tim recently shared about when he started speaking in tongues and really getting into the Word back in Florida. The Yahweh stopped him and had him ministering to somebody's broken arm. He never even saw. There's a guy with a broken arm. He needs help. Yes, sir. I speak healing over his arm. Confess these things. Back to work. He doesn't need. Just say the word only. That's a Cornelius type of faith. Mm-hmm. Are we ready to do that? And this teaching is going to be Yahweh getting a lean on some people. We got to understand that he can't do anything he wants. He's limited to knuckleheads that won't obey. And he's really good, though. And he's going to go, I can't do the things the way I would want to do. And every once in a while, the only way for him to get what he wants is going to look like you, looking evil or wicked. And it's going to other people, they're not necessarily going to understand. But if Philippians 2:13, if we keep going back to the secret place, away from phones, sports, TV, or whatever, and you go get on your knees and you commune, and he will tell you what his will is. I'm going to be going pretty fast. So if you can't keep up with the scripture, we'll try to do the pages. But don't let if you can't get there, that's we're gonna be going through a lot. You got to turn to Genesis 29:20. And so the Hebrew word, this is not a teaching on ahav or ahav, the word love, Yahweh's word. But it says when they came to Jesus Christ or Yehoshua, and they said, "What are the greatest commandments?" Greatest commandment is Deuteronomy 6:4, to ahav, love, ahav Yahweh with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And what's the second greatest great commandment?
To ahav
your neighbor as yourself. And the whole law is summed up these two things. If you don't want it done to you, don't do it. Have you ever heard that from your parents?
Yeah.
It sums up a lot of problems, right? Genesis 29:20, because we're going to look at a possible problem. It's going to look like a violation of that law. Would somebody read that?
So Jacob served for Rachel 7 years, and they became in his eyes as single days for his love to her.
Now that's one of my favorite scriptures. You want to desire something? How would you like a guy that works 14 years just to marry you when you're marrying of age? Elijah, how would you like Yahweh to introduce you to a girl that goes, you could marry that chick? Put in some work, and she's worth 7 years of your life? That's going to med school, man. That's neat, right?
Yeah.
What about Leah? Because Jacob got married to somebody else before Rachel. Mm-hmm. Leah's, or Rachel's sister, Leah. How would you like to be Leah?
Not here.
And your husband loves your sister like that. And we look at that and go, wait a minute, but who wrote Genesis 29:20?
Yahweh
did. And so what is this special thing? We get the opportunity to see what that ahav did in the long run through Jacob and the baby wars, as John Shainite would say, having all these babies. But that would not make sense. And what I believe is that Jacob would have got confirmation from Yahweh that this chick is it, man. How? When he was busy with life? You don't get confirmation from Yahweh when you're too busy to talk to him. When do you get confirmation from Yahweh? When you shut stuff down and you go sit down. Everybody's, Dad's good at that. Everybody's got 24 hours a day. You know, Donald Trump has time to pray each day and read scriptures. Don't tell me you don't got enough time. Yeah. Right? But I believe that he would have been meditating. And just Yahweh's like, there's something about Rachel. There's just something about that. I don't understand it. Because it would have, love your neighbor as yourself, right? But man, what's going on here? Genesis 37 verse 3 is going to be another example. Because what we know is that the Ahav of Jacob with Rachel was a mission from Yahweh. Yahweh was commissioning Jacob or Jacob going, she's it. Did he have freedom of will?
Yeah.
Yeah. He could have said, no, everybody gets 50-50. Everybody gets 50-50. I got six kids here. Don't you tell me anything. Everything's not 50-50, Jacob. Jacob, I want you to treat this one and here's this whole thing. And that was Yahweh's will. Now, poor Leah. Would Yahweh take care of Leah? Absolutely. He cares more about Leah than Jacob could have ever, or any one of us. He'll take care of those. Every once in a while, he's going to tell you to treat somebody different than another person. And that is the mission. What's it say in Genesis 37, verse 3?
Now, Israel loved Joseph more than any of his sons because he was to him the son of his old age.
That's what every kid thinks, right? Wait a minute, that's not Joseph saying it. That's Yahweh. Donna, does that sound fair?
No.
How would you feel if your father loved one of his children more than you? Mom? Now? What the heck's going on with that? These are the 12. Would you like it if your dad loved one of your brothers more than you?
No.
Let me ask you this. Would Israel want to be treated that way?
No.
How did that make sense? And I believe he, when he separated himself, anybody that really wants to serve Yahweh, you got to check in. Because things are moving. Reporting for duty, sir. Everything's fine. Go back to work. Yes, sir. Other times you're going to say, I'm glad you checked in. Go this way. Drop everything. And with Israel, Yahweh said, this kid right here. Not only did he do that, this word Ahav, Yahweh's writing this. But Yahweh also, in the next couple of verses, tells him to make what's called a kethoneth, a long tunic. So what about this coat of mighty colors, right? You know what the mighty colors meant? E.W. Bullinger says that it's a coat with long sleeves down to your palms, down to your feet. And do you know what this? Do you know what this jacket? Can you imagine your dad giving this to Ruth or Isaiah in front of the whole family? It says it was worn by the chief. And the chief's heir. Yeah. Who's going to be running everything? And this also, this is going to be priests.
Yeah.
Yahweh, with Adam and Eve, it wasn't a loincloth that he made them. It would have been something most likely like a high priest. Yahweh's a good designer. He doesn't use scrap. It would have been, came out, and here's what it looks like. And who picked Aharon? Yahweh did. Here's what you wear. And Israel picks Joseph over all the rest. Not only does he do it, it's public, and everybody can see it. Was Israel righteous?
Yeah.
Do you think that was confusing to him sometimes?
Sure.
Absolutely. But what's going on here? Who saves everybody? We'll read later on that when Joseph is sold into slavery, and they come back to him, he's going to tell us in Genesis. It's going to say later on that Yahweh sent me ahead to save all your guys' lives. But what if Israel did not love Joseph more than the rest? Who would have been sent ahead to save everybody's life? This is rhetorical. I'm not picking on any one of you.
Reuben.
If he tells you to exalt one of your children above the rest, would you do it?
I don't know.
Man, that's tough. I love all my kids.
Yeah.
Man, this is talking about Israel. You think he left his kids? You think Jacob left his? Holy moly, I'm not a patriarch. Would you do it? Would you treat one family member above the other one? And why would you do it? We're going to see later on. It wasn't because of natural affection. Dad and I have a lot in common, right? And so you can see later on, we're going to see here's a bad example of a natural affection that you might want to exalt one. We do see bad examples of a parent exalting somebody. In Genesis 25, verse 28, let me try to turn there. But as I said, Dad and I have a lot in common. And so you go, okay, well, you guys spend so much time together. Yeah, we both like to go to football games. We both like going to Christian festivals. We both like going to meetings. Would you guys like to go to these things? Nope. Well, that's what... It'd be like Donna and gardening and cooking. If somebody like to do it, you got something in common, that's fine. Well, we're going to see that this is not that. And as far as we know, they had nothing in common. But Yahweh stirring something up with those who accepted the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to do something. Man, you know what my wife's going to say if I do that to Joseph? Man, I got to live with these ladies. It's already tough with the baby wars. Do you tell me to do this? And then you can imagine going, are you sure? Man, has he ever asked you to do something hard? Man, this isn't going to look good.
The youngest.
That, and what's it say in Genesis 25, verse 28? Would somebody read that?
And Isaac loved Esau because of the game he put in his mouth, but Rebekah was a lover of Yaakov.
Why did a bad example of like a favoritism or something, which is not right, was going to be Esau and Isaac? Why did he love them? They had something in common. Football. Lifting weights. We have that in common, lifting weights, right? Or it could be whatever. We've got certain things in common. So those are not good. And it says Rebekah loved Yaakov. Did it say why Rebekah loved Yaakov?
Nope.
No. But what we do know through the scriptures is somebody else loved Yaakov too. Mm-hmm. Who?
Yahweh.
He specifically says, I love Yaakov. And what I believe even with Rebekah is her also. What would she have done? I believe that this great matriarch would have spent time alone with Yahweh going, what do you want me to do? Man, Esau's going to be very upset. We're hosting Christmas this year. We can't do this before Christmas. But did she do it? Man, did she do it? Does the church give Rebekah any credit for this? No. Yahweh does unusual commissions. And turn to Genesis 44, verse 7. We can benefit out of these unusual commissions, because like with Jacob and with Joseph being exalted. Oh, would somebody read verse 44, verse 7?
They said unto him, wherefore should my Lord speak such words as these? Far be thy servant from doing such a thing as this.
I wrote that down wrong. So I believe, so there to be unusual commissions. Anybody can love your neighbors yourself. I mean, for us, we speak in tongues and interpret in public and prophesy in public. We're not ashamed of Yahweh's word, which really puts us up here. But would we do some of these other unusual commissions? And we're going to find out, some of these unusual commissions, volunteering, it was literally a matter of life and death with Joseph. And Joseph's going, we saved everybody's life by doing this. And can you imagine the relief of Israel? Well, I don't know if it would be relief. He's 100. What did Pharaoh say to Israel when he met him? How old are you? Because Israel says, I'm 120 something years old. And Pharaoh's like, man, you're still alive. But could you imagine him looking? He stayed the course. And Israel going, what if I wouldn't have made that coat? Can you imagine what happened with the coat? And man, I exalted him and he was gone. I lost my son, possibly him wondering if he might have missed it. But if he would have continued going and separating himself, Yahweh would have confirmed everything's fine. What do you mean everything's fine? I lost Joseph. How's your peace? Man, when I come out here and I cry all by myself and I sing a song to you and I produce joy, I feel great. So everything's going to be fine? Yeah, don't worry about it again. Clean break. It's okay. And I believe that's what Israel would have had. And I believe, now we'll turn to Philippians 2:13. We didn't read it, but it's for Yahweh, who is energizing both the desiring, does both the desiring and the energizing on behalf of his good pleasure. And here's another example of what would possibly look like favoritism. Yahweh's going to ask us to do things that's not going to be popular on people. Now, we're used to learning about saying Yahweh, bring up the Democrat Party. Whoa! Down half the people! Okay, that's good, it's good. Now, we need some special forces here. A special force type military person going, I need some really, really tough people that can do something. And I believe that's what Jacob and Israel were. Now, if you turn to Luke chapter 12, our Lord and Savior, Yehoshua. See if anybody knows that. How many brothers did he have?
I don't think we know.
Oh, we know.
We know one.
Two or three?
One sister? I think it's five or six, I think. I
haven't
counted.
We don't know how many sisters, but we believe there's more than two, because E.W. Bulger points out if it was a two, he would say...
No, he named his brothers.
I said sisters.
No.
No,
I said Christ's sisters. E.W. Bulger goes, he believed that the sisters were more than two, but they're not named by name. We know Judith, there was Joseph. Who do you think loved his little brothers more than anybody on the planet?
Yahushua.
You kidding me? Mm-hmm. Right? And in chapter 6, verse 12, what our Lord's getting ready to go do is, guess what? He's going to go decide who's going to be his 12 disciples. If anybody would have appreciated promoting a family member up, who would have been? Mm-hmm. Yehoshua. So somebody read verse chapter 6, verse 12.
And it came to pass in these days that he went forth into the mountain to pray, and was spending the night in the prayer house of Yahweh. And when it became day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom also he named apostles.
As far as we know, his brothers might have been there. Judas, not called. Joseph, not called.
Andrew was.
You're going to go, okay, all right, well that's... And so there could be a time in your life that Yahweh's going to say, I want you to hire non-family members or something. Well, they got some bills to pay here. But how did he get this confirmation? He separated himself. And I believe all these matriarch and patriarchs, how they would have got confirmation on these things, this desiring of Yahweh, you got to separate yourself. It says... Yahweh is holy, therefore you have to be holy to be near him. You want to know what he's saying? If you're not holy, there's no fellowship. There's no fellowship with light, with darkness, with few exceptions. Holy means to separate. If you're not separating yourself from TV, phones, or whatever, Yahweh, just the other day, I went to go on my morning run. Walk. Walk, man, it's going to take a lot more time if I walk. I got some stuff to do. So I stopped. I started, okay, I'll walk. And do you know what you have to go do? Walk over into the woods. I walk over in the woods. I'm like, I'm starting to panic because it's going to take more time than I need to. I got my little routine, what I'm supposed to do. And he went, you just gave a girl a prophecy in Poland, or I don't know if it was a prophecy, and you said she needs to lay down on her back and spend some quality time. Get on your back. Poison ivy. So he had me lay on my back for 20 minutes. Close your eyes.
20 minutes?
Well, he didn't tell me 20 minutes. I would have had less stress if he would have told me, okay, I can do 20 minutes. Give me a second. No. Sit still. I'm laying there. I'm going, I close my eyes. And I'm listening to the birds. I'm listening to the birds. Listen to the trees. Listen to these things. Finish praying for your family. Man. I need my trees, because that's when I know I start praying for mom. I got this whole routine, and what he did is he shut everything down, and what he was doing for me is separating. And what the neat thing was is when finally I'm opening my eyes, through the hoodie, I'm looking at the trees, I'm like, that'd be a cool picture. I forgot what I was actually doing, guys.
Yeah.
He separated me, and then he confirmed, this is what I need to do today. And I get up, and I'm like, okay, he goes, now you can run. And that's how Jesus Christ would have confirmed who to pick. That's how Israel would have known those things to pick. And I believe, I got a hold of myself, ahead of myself, but I believe Jacob or Jacob was in a garden praying, like Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. What do you want me to do? What's going on with Rachel?
Yeah.
What about Leah? You want me to treat Rachel like this? And I believe he was separating himself, and Yahweh's going, yeah. How can this make sense? Do you love me, Jacob? Yes, then do what I say. Man, and what he would have had? The peace that passes all understanding. Philippians 4:4 confirmed. Colossians 3:15. Jesus Christ and the peace will be your umpire. And he would have been on his knees and Yahweh goes, it's Rachel, man. Enjoy it. Man, I'm crazy about that girl. Poor Leah. I'll take care of Leah. And if he tells you to exalt one of your kids, these other kids aren't going to get it. He will take care of the other kids if you do your job. If you do your job, it takes care of everything else. But would you do it? I don't know. I have one kid. Could it really be Joseph on his knees? Do you really want me to exalt, or not Joseph, but Israel, exalt Joseph over his brothers? Yeah. They're going to hate him. His brothers aren't right now. We saw what Judah did. Really? Okay. He separated himself. And they coming back. You want me to make a cut to Neth? Oh my goodness, I thought things were tough earlier. And Yahweh went through peace. Do it. I believe he was in a garden too. And so will you. He'll give you the confirmation if you separate yourself. And I believe the same thing with Rebecca. And here's Rebecca. Yahweh told Rebecca the younger's going to serve the older, right? Yeah,
right.
And here's your husband's going to blow it. Who's got to live with Isaac after Jacob deceives his dad? Uh-huh. Who's got to share a tent?
Rebecca.
Okay, do you think Rebecca had any idea that Esau's going to murder her brother after this?
Or son.
If somebody's going to murder somebody, they probably have some tendencies, is what I'm going to guess.
You mean son.
Yeah, Esau. Esau is going to be so angry he's going to kill him. And I'm going, if somebody's going to be that quick to kill your brother, I'm like, I bet you he was unstable or something like that. But here she is, and I bet you she was also going, what do you want me to do? Trick your husband. That's not loving your neighbor as yourself. You got to trick him. And I believe that she was sitting there going, golly. Peter, he had a great commission also in Acts chapter 10, and which is a great one because with Peter in Acts chapter 10, it goes through the stages. Dad did a teaching that when angels or messengers did show up, they never show up to bums or people that don't care about the word. That's what Dad said. He shows up to Midian or Mary. Mary's like, wow, okay, she's a righteous woman. Shows up to Gideon. Gideon's like, holy moly. Dad goes, you know, they ever show up to a wino on the street and on the teaching? Izzy goes, what a wino say? Dad, Izzy went, eh. Y'all is not a fool. He knows he's not going to answer his messages. But here's Peter. But what Dad was also saying is these great missions are people who specifically separate themselves into hours of prayer three times a day. That's what they would have done also. And Peter, on Acts 10, he's on a rooftop. Uh-huh. What's he doing?
Reading.
Man, some good things happen. He's talking to the boss again.
Yeah.
I'm telling you what, boss. When you said, do you love me, three times in front of the other guy, and I was like, really wanted to quit. I'm glad you didn't quit on me. Me too, Peter. I tell you what, boss, I never did like John very much until we healed that guy at the Gay Beautiful. Man, that was cool. Thanks, boss. All right. Boss, this is great. I'll tell you another thing, boss. Watching your brethren and your mom speaking in tongues on that day, and I stood up, didn't even know I had it in me. Thank you, boss. And Jesus Christ would have been like, yeah, my mom and my brothers were speaking in tongues for you. It's perfect prayer. Kept you from getting killed. Wow, that's great. Hey, Peter, I got an idea. Go back to praying. All right. Things are going pretty good, right? Until a big parachute comes down of unclean animals. Rise and eat, Peter. I can't imagine this because I don't know. I wasn't raised on Levitical law. But you can imagine Tim or I getting... Aaron, go to the strip club. That is not from you. I'm not going to strip clubs. What does Peter do? He doubts the vision in verse 14. He rejects it, which we should. It's a good example. When unclean thoughts come, what should you do? You reject it. Not so. Get out of here. Kill the old man. Strip him off. But if it comes back again, happens twice. Happens three times. Go to a strip club? Man, what? It says in Acts, is anybody in Acts 10?
Yeah.
Would somebody read verse 14 real quick?
But Peter said, by no means, Lord, because at no time.
Peter was a man of man's. He would speak, and he had a great heart. But he said, no, I'm not going, man. He also told Peter, Jesus Christ, you're not washing my feet, man. What's he say? Then read verse 17. What happened?
And as within himself, Peter was doubting that the vision which he had seen might
be. It's okay to doubt the mission. Yehoshua is going to give him a mission. How important is the sacred secret? Google the great sacred secret, Telios Ministries. You got to read it. You won't understand any of this if you don't. If you haven't read it, you need to read it. What's a great sacred secret?
No more.
It was so important had the rulers of the age known the sacred secret, they wouldn't have killed the Lord of glory. Who's going to open up this scroll? Who's going to unlock this thing? Who's going to be a part like Joseph? I wouldn't say it was necessary. Joseph was always obedient, but it was really Israel exalting his son against knowledge. Well, what did he do? He saved everybody, man. I never saw that coming. Oh, man, your finales are great. Here's Joseph going, look at this. He's such a good writer. He'll do the same thing with you. But here's Jesus Christ. He didn't know that, or Peter did not understand that the vision, and or he was doubting the mission, I guess is where I was going. I believe that Jacob and Peter's confusion were very similar, because in Levitical law, you don't eat the unclean animals. Jacob would have been the same thing. You got to love my neighbors as myself. I can't love Rachel more than Leah. Could have been the same with Israel. let's see here. I skipped over some of the stuff. Oh, so Peter's going to do it afraid. Acts 10, verse 27 is there. You can look at it. Oh, yeah. I believe that Peter, he was already in a place of prayer and meditating when he got this. Philippians 2, here's the mission. You get this going. He's doubting it. Going, man, I wonder if he would. Is there anything else going on? But can you imagine? Think about this. Here's Israel going to exalt his son Joseph. What's going to happen to the other 11?
They're going to be kicked right off.
Are they going to understand it?
No.
Was Joseph excommunicated?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually? What's Peter getting ready to go do? Is he going to break the law, it looks like? Yeah? What's it say in verse 27? When he goes into the house of Cornelius.
And conversing with him, he went in and findeth many come together and said unto them, ye well know how unlawful it is.
He starts the whole thing off. I am going to go on the record. I'm not supposed to be here. This is against the law. Yet, Yahweh told me going on the special mission. And when I was thinking about that, Joseph, if I exalt Joseph, what about the other 11? Could Peter have thought the same thing? Wait a minute. What are the other apostles going to think? Man, if this is, and I don't think Peter would have any problem of being rejected by the other apostles. I don't think Dad or you or me or others. But what if we're wrong?
Yeah.
This could go really wrong, right? And you can imagine, going, man. But he did. And if you keep reading in Acts 11, verse 3, what's it say? He did not know how it was going to turn out. Somebody read Acts 11, 3. Why don't you read it? Somebody give Esther a page.
131.
Okay, Acts 11, verse 3?
Yeah.
Okay. Saying, he went in unto men uncircumcised and did eat with them.
You keep reading.
Yeah. But Peter, making a beginning, went on to set forth the matter unto them in order, saying, I was in the city of Joppa, praying, and saw in a trance a vision coming down, a sort of vessel like a large sheet, by four corners being let down of heaven, and it came even unto me. Into which, steadfastly looking, I began to observe, and saw the quadrupeds of the earth and the wild beasts and the creeping things and the birds of heaven.
And so he just goes on, and that's what. Did Yahweh tell Peter what to do?
Yes.
No.
He said, slay and eat.
It's slay and eat, but now he's being confronted by the apostles going, dude, What are you doing, man? He goes, you're doing it afraid? And he starts giving the testimony, and he starts going, does he know what to do with the apostles? No. Does he want things to be divided? Yeah. No, I mean, no, he didn't want things to be divided. Now read verse 18.
And having heard these things, they held their peace and glorified Yahweh, saying, hence, even to nations, El hath granted repentance into life.
Did he know that was going to happen? But can you imagine him stressed out?
Yeah, I bet he was.
And go, but here's Yahweh. Then he gets to see that, and it would have just been another confirmation. Like Dad did a teaching on faith is certainty. Because we're never surprised about the sun rising, but we're always grateful. And when we see Yahweh taking care of things, man, are we grateful. Because if Israel wouldn't have exalted Joseph, all of his sons would have died.
Yeah.
Do you understand that, Joseph? Or Israel? No, he didn't understand that. Do you love your kids? Yeah. Exalt Joseph. Except Yahweh doesn't come down to our level to explain things. He goes, you want to save your kids? Here's what you got to do. Man, that doesn't look right. But what would happen later on as Joseph explained it to them? What would his brothers understand? Yeah. Absolutely. You saved their lives. You saved everybody. And you're sparing our lives? We deserve death. Who is this man? Boom. And what they're seeing is Jesus Christ. He accepted it. And what also we don't know about Rebecca. Well, I guess we can turn on Rebecca's mission. Oh, here's Jacob. If you could turn there. Genesis 31:7. If you can't go there fast, you can just listen. I think about Jacob with Rachel. Okay. Who stirred up this desire for Rachel? The author. She's it, man. I remember Dad talking about Mom and Dad getting married. I'm single. I can't wait to meet my wife someday. Dad goes, yeah, your mom just really dug me. I had it. She saw something in me. Yahweh had this desire in her that she was fulfilled in me or something like that. I'm like, man, that sounds so good. And that's what Jacob had with Rachel. Sounds good, right? Until after your wedding. And you wake up in the morning.
It's not Rachel.
Man, I thought you smelled funny. Who does he see in the morning?
Leah.
I had sex with the wrong girl. Is that awkward? Leah, I gotta get my clothes on. I gotta get to work. What just happened? Are you kidding me? Laban comes back. What does it say in Genesis chapter 31, verse 7?
But your father has deceived me and has changed my wages 10 times, yet God hath not suffered him to deal harmfully with me.
Who is he working for?
Yeah.
His father-in-law. Just for you kids, nobody wants to work for their father-in-law. Or their mother-in-law, necessarily. They could be righteous and be really good. I'd work for, but I wouldn't want to work for you. Not for my father-in-law. You're taking care of my daughter? Yes, I am. See how you're spending that money. I know how much you make. Oh, man. Do you think Jacob had doubts?
Yeah.
Man, how about a heads up, dude? You could have told me. It was Leah. Yahweh, you know everything. I was praying before. I was rejoicing. I sang songs to my Elohim, my Eloah, Yahweh. You are my sufficiency. You are my God. And then I wake up with Leah. Hey. Did I miss something? Do you think he might have thought that he made a mistake?
Oh, yeah.
I guarantee it. Oh, man, I missed this. Then he's going through the baby wars.
Yeah.
These women are having fighting back and forth. And then one time Dad goes, yeah, then one of his wife pimps him out. He comes home from work and goes, hey, you gotta have sex with her because she gave you mandrakes. Oh, man. I don't feel like a prince. I don't feel like a prince of Yahweh or a prince of El. But here, what? Did it look like he possibly made a mistake? Yeah. What's going on? But he would have separated himself. And he went on walks. And it's okay to respectfully vent. You get on your knees. It says, humble yourself or Yahweh's going to humble you. You know what that means?
You're going to smack down.
Yeah, submit or Yahweh's going to make you submit. That's to us, to our parents and our elders too. That was 1 Peter 5:5. But Jacob or Jacob would have went on walks. What you got to do is you got to separate yourself from the mess. I'm going to sing about something else. I'm going to sing about this. And as he's singing, he would have got peace again. What do you mean? Everything's okay. Everything's going to be okay. And he would have got that peace. Everything's going to be fine. All right, man. All right. Do I still got to work for Laban? Yes. And I believe, and this is a side note, what did Laban warn Jacob when he did leave? He could have killed him. All this is mine. So if Jacob didn't leave at the right time, guess what would have happened to Jacob? As far as he probably would have been killed. Laban was a wicked guy. And he came with an army to come to him. So how important was it for Jacob to stay as long as he did? Mm-hmm. Might not even live. So you gotta keep this job until this time, whatever. How about Rebecca's mission? You think about Rebecca going, man, I gotta sleep in the same bed as Isaac. But did Rebecca know what was gonna happen with Isaac? If somebody would, I skipped, what were we saying about Jacob? Did we go over Esau and yeah. Yes. Jacob? What page is that?
It was 11, wasn't it?
Not Genesis.
No, I don't know what chapter it was.
Now, this is another thing, because Peter didn't know that 11 were going to come on board. You think Peter kind of felt alone a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, and before 27. Then? 27, thank you, Rachel.
Chapter 27, page
50. Thank you, Rachel.
28 is when he blessed.
You said page 28?
I'm sorry, page 58, Genesis.
There it is. Okay, what do we know? What are the consequences of obedience? Deuteronomy 28. Yahweh will bless you. Mm-hmm. What are the consequences of disobedience?
Curse.
That which you sow, you will reap. So if you do what's right, what will happen? Blessings. After the deception, because Esau was going to exalt his son because they had something in common, it was football or hunting or whatever the blank is, gardening, music, British comedies. Rebecca did not know what was going to happen in chapter 28, the immediate chapter after this. Would somebody read chapter 28, verse 1?
Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and commanded him and said to him, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan.
For the patriarch, what's the next encounter after being deceived? He's blessed by the patriarch. What do we know? Isaac got in line with Yahweh's plan. His wife was right and he was wrong. And he missed it. But he does a 180. Judah does that too. A couple different times, Judah really kind of missed it. But in this case, Isaac follows his wife. Rebecca didn't know that was going to happen. And especially those times, this could have been a divorce. This is some serious stuff. And what happens? If you do what I say, I'll take care of those things, Rebecca. I believe Rebecca would have been praying. She would have went and go, does Yahweh really want me? Here's Rebecca. It'd be better if I had you down here. Kneeling, here's Rebecca separating herself, going, does Yahweh really want me to deceive my husband and my son? You want me to lie? Do you really? And here's Yahweh going, he knows, he's a perfect communicator. You know what you're supposed to do. And maybe she wrestled with it for a little bit of time. But I believe that she would also went to the garden and like Jesus Christ would. Think about Rebecca. Is going to go back to Rebecca's possible consequences. It was neat with Rebecca. Man, you want to talk about a leader? I don't think she gets hardly any recognition. But in Genesis chapter 28, verse 1, we know that Rebecca did not say this. You know how we know? Because it's not in here. Yeah. What did Rebecca not tell Jacob? Because Jacob was going to go, Mom. Rebecca's going to say, Yahweh specifically said in Genesis 25:23, if you want to look there, 25:23, he says, the younger, or the older will serve the younger, your dad's going to blow it. Yeah, Mom, but what if we mess up? Rebecca said, she did not say this. It'll all work out. We'll all laugh about this later on. Is that what she says?
No.
In 27, what's it say? Chapter 27, verse 12 and 13. Somebody read that.
Peradventure my father might feel me, then should I be in his eyes as one that mocketh, and should bring upon myself a reproach and not a blessing. And his mother said to him, upon me be thy reproach, my son. Only hearken unto my voice and go fetch them for me.
What was Rebecca doing? Rebecca was hearkening to Yahweh's voice. And sometimes we have leaders in our family and people won't, for whatever reason, I'm not in with you. That's going to be way too controversial or whatever it was, but Rebecca goes, let the curse be on me. Mm-hmm. What kind of leaders? Do you think Yahweh's going to bless that woman?
And she never got.
She goes, you just do what I say. I know what we're supposed to do. And what's going to happen later on, verse 28, when Jacob's being blessed? It would have been like the sunrise. I knew it was you, Yahweh. I just didn't know it was going to work out quite like that. And he'll do the same thing for you guys. If he can commission you to do a great mission. Mm-hmm. And it's not like, hey, I can find something good for you to do if you guys want. Because, you know, Yahweh and Jesus Christ got all this free time. He's got missions everywhere. There's too many sissies that don't want to accept a hard mission. We know that Isaac follows Rebecca's obedience. Peter's consequences with the apostles, it worked out. Now, it doesn't say it's always going to work out, because it doesn't always work out. But Yahweh will make it great. He's got something better if it doesn't. How does it look to Yahweh and Yehoshua when we do obey? I like to think of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is brand new. Here's messenger, has been around for 4,000 years. Here's the new guy. We'll see if he can pilot this thing. Now the scriptures don't say that the angels don't die and they live 4,000 years, but as far as we know, they do. I don't know. I didn't say. But here they are. Here's the new guy. Here's Jesus Christ. He's running things. Hey, he's pretty good. But then, can you imagine Yehoshua watching Peter wrestling with his vision? Cornelius and the angels going, man, I don't know if anybody's going to be able to do that. And he'd be like, no, you understand Peter. Peter walked on the water with me. You understand? Peter told me I ought to wash his feet. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, Peter cut off Malchus's ear for me. You understand Peter? And they're going, yeah, but didn't he deny you three times? Yeah, but that was after he tried to lay down his life. You don't understand Peter. Peter will do the job. He'll get it done. But he's still watching because Peter has freedom of will. And you can imagine that when Peter goes to the house of Cornelius and they start speaking in tongues, that Yahweh says that we can be a sweet aroma when we obey. Can you imagine a bouquet of incense coming up because of Peter's obedience? And can you imagine a sigh of relief with Jesus Christ, Yehoshua, going, man, I knew I picked the right apostle. I knew you could do it, Peter! He's out of sissies. Get behind Peter. Who else could do this guy? Peter's it, man. Here's Peter. He might be hot, might be cold. Maybe he's mouthy. Maybe he's a know-it-all. Maybe he doesn't get along. But man, is that guy reliable? That's Dad. Dad's like that. But we could be like that to Jesus Christ. To say, man, I can rely on you. He always answers the phone. And that sweet, savoring smell. Yahweh says, a wonderful odor. And Andrew Womack says, if we could be a wonderful odor, what else can we be? And
stench.
Because Jesus Christ loved Jacob. He hated Esau. Well, that's not fair. Esau's choices. And our lives can stench. You ever had to use a bathroom after somebody else, an older brother? Is that what we want our life to be like for Jesus Christ? And that, let's just imagine that's his office. Gonna go, and not in all the areas, but in other areas gonna go, if we are living by the flesh and we're gonna be like Esau and Jacob like that, how about Eli and his sons? That's a natural affection. He loved his sons more than, and there's all kinds of stories about loving your family. Nothing comes between me and family. Jesus Christ said in Mark 3:35, who is my brother, my sister, and my mother? Those who do my Father's will are brother and sister and mother of mine. Did Jesus Christ know that in Acts, his brothers are going to be there? I didn't know that. Did you know that? It says his brothers. It says his mom and his brethren were there. He didn't know they were going to be there. You think that blessed him? And Yahweh will bless you also. It says, okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, it's going to say that Yahweh sets the members where they're supposed to be.
Amen.
Okay? Peter, do you love me? Oh, you guys don't necessarily have to go there. I'll kind of sum up because I'm going long. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, it says that Yahweh's picking. Yahweh picks the members where they're supposed to be. So even Peter's job and mission, Jesus Christ is running the body. But Peter, you do my job. He's telling you what to do, and Yahweh's picking it. We know in 2 Corinthians 5, 14 and 15, it also says that we owe it to him. We don't belong to ourselves. We owe it to him. You know, one other thing would be to take it real serious too. I mean, some of this stuff could be really catastrophic because if Jacob didn't get on his knees, would that be catastrophic? Yeah. Could you traumatize Leah if you did this?
Mm.
Absolutely. Or to exalt Joseph? Yeah, this would be catastrophic mistakes. That's what we check in. But if we do, you can turn to Hebrews 12:3. We'll wrap up there. If you fulfill your calling, if you accept your commission, if you accept your mission to Yahweh, what are you going to have to do? You're going to have to do 1 Peter 1:15. You have to separate yourself from whatever is controlling your time and your mind. Find a way to separate yourself. We know that in Colossians 3:15, that it will be confirmed what you're supposed to do by peace, not necessarily reason. By peace, Colossians 3:15. Philippians 2:13 says Yahweh specifically puts dreams and desires in you. But you're not going to feel those dreams and desires if you don't separate yourself, you don't get into the Word. Mm-hmm. And Hebrews 12, and Jesus Christ said, what did he do? As our ultimate example of the great being commissioned for a great mission, he said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will, thy will. And that's what we should do also. Not my will, it's your will. And what do you think that blessed Yahweh when he did that? Look at this kid. Man. My will. We'll see if he's got it. And how do we finish all that? How do we do that? Hebrews 12:3. If somebody would read that.
We take you into consideration him who hath endured such contradiction by sinners against themselves, lest you be wearied and your soul becoming exhausted.
That was Hebrews 12:3?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did another typo, sorry. Let me turn there.
You can just tell us the verse, though.
12:2. Sorry, that's 12:2. I'll read it. No, I'll do 12:1 and 2. And this is what Jacob would have done. And if you look, if you read Hebrews 11, how did Noah, Samson, how did these guys do it? They were looking for the resurrection, guys. The hope. The next life. Enduring it. But Hebrews 12, therefore indeed, seeing that we also, having encircled ourselves so great a cloud of witness, stripping off every encumbrance and easily entangling sin, with endurance let us be running the race that is lying before us, looking away into our face, princely leader, perfecter, Yehoshua. And how did he do it? Who, in consideration of the joy lying before him, endured a cross, shame, despising, and on the right hand of the throne of Yahweh has taken his seat. So will we. Okay, so you have the choice to be a part of a really big thing, if you want. Should you accept your mission? Father, we thank you for your words, and we thank you for these things. Do not be fearful. Humble yourself. And hold yourself still. Many times I'm not going to talk to you until you hold still and shut up for a while. And as you do so, you're showing me respect. And you wait. And I will start speaking. And I'll confirm. But until you humble yourself, I will not speak. Does a judge not get honor when he walks into a courtroom and all rise? Give me my honor so that I can bless you. Give me my honor. Humble yourselves and go low. I don't want to knock you down. I want to lift you up. But I can't do it if you're not low. And as you get this first thing right, circumcising your hearts like my great leaders, like Jacob did, like Israel did, like Jesus Christ and Peter did, like Rebecca did, circumcise your heart and I'll confirm your mission. And it's not just a little mission. There are lives on the line if you don't fulfill it. And I will reward you above and beyond anything you could ever imagine. This life, take it serious. Everything's going in ink and in print. We will read about your life forever. And it will be worth it if you run your race in a way in which to win. And remember me. Come on.
Hallelujah. Yeah.